Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Press Release, a production of Goracom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives after they put out big news. If you're an investor that believes in the future of nickel and electric vehicles, then Power Nickel is the company you want to watch because they're an emerging growth company that's drilled one of the best nickel holes reported in recent history. And with us to talk about the company is Terry Lynch. He's the CEO of the company, trades in Canada, PNPN. For our friends in the U.S., PNPNF. For those of you in the story, a couple of highlights. The NISK property is a huge land position with numerous historical high-grade nickel intercepts, a historical 43-1, and in the jurisdiction, it's got both infrastructure and three other battery metal explorers, critical elements, Galaxy Resources, Nemaska Lithium. So they're in great company, and they've already got some great numbers. So I already told you about one of the best nickel holes reported in history. They're targeting, hopefully, 8 to million tons of nickel, and they're upgraded 43-101. We're expecting sometime this fall. Longer term, Terry has told us, he's targeting 20 to 50 million tons over the next couple of years. They're aiming to make NISK, not just your dad's nickel company, one of the world's first carbon neutral nickel mines, which is, I don't think has even been done before. And they're aiming to supply low carbon class one nickel to developing North American electric vehicle supply chain. But the press release we're talking about today, Power Nickel is spinning out its British Columbia and Chilean projects into a different company in order to free up Power Nickel and put it all there on its own. Terry, let's talk about it. Welcome back, my friend.
Great to be here, George. That's quite a mouthful.
You got a lot going on, buddy.
Yeah, we do. We do.
And which is great. And when I read today's press release, here's what I thought. In a basketball game, at the end of the game, when the game's on the line, the ball is given to the best player on the court, Giannis. I'll use Giannis because I'm Greek.
Of course.
Everybody clears out to give Giannis his best one-on-one shot at winning the game. That's what it feels like you're doing here. It feels like you've got these great projects in British Columbia and Chile and your royalty, but you're clearing them out for Power Nickel on its own to win the game. Is that what's going on here? Is that what it feels like?
Yeah, NISK is such a special project. We want people to focus on, what it can be and what it is now and where it's going. And, we're obviously, focused on becoming a nickel development story and hopefully in the not too distant future, a nickel production story. So, it's just an unbelievable asset. And now that it makes sense to focus on it and also to enable those other really good assets to have a window of their own opportunity so we can maximize our shareholder value.
Does the impending 43-101, was that the catalyst to finally making this, this very big, important corporate, structural move, but is that the catalyst? Because the 43-1's coming September, October-ish.
And yeah, that was definitely one of the considerations. And then we sort of felt that, obviously the copper gold exploration plays had obviously not had a good run, but our sense is that good run is coming for them. It may not be this fall, but it's going to be soon. And it was time to prep that vehicle. So, and honestly, the technology we're using at NISK, the ambient noise tomography that we're, deploying to, find the additional, pods of nickel up there. That is a technology that's really got a lot of potential in Chile for our copper gold projects down there. Never been used in Chile yet. We'll be the first guys to use it. And we see that as really a big catalyst as well. So we wanted to get it ready for that.
Before we talk about the spin-off company, Consolidated Gold and Copper, I just want to end off with this because that's what everyone's watching you for right now.
Yeah.
That's the jewel. What's the status? We're sitting here near the end of July. What's its current status and what does the second half of the year look like in 2023?
Yeah, so we're gearing up for a big second half. So, as I said, we've deployed the ambient noise tomography. So we're doing that, adding that detailed deep seismic review of our project together with the airborne EM, the downhole EM, the gravity and the IP to, focus us on our next wave of drilling, which will start August 7th. and we'll go until the end of sometime in December. And we'll drop a second rig in there in late September to drill our platinum PGM hole. That, remember, we had the almost 8 meters of 1 ounce material, so that was a winter target. But we figured out a way to get in there a little bit earlier with a second pad, so that'll happen. So we're super bullish about our targets for the fall, so from the milestone perspective, we've told the market that we expect that we'll be able to conclude something with a strategic partner, strategic investor, really, that would want to invest in Power Nickel and enable us to go forward with a feasibility study for NISK. That'll be a game changer for us, we think, in terms
That's unbelievable, Terry. Because you talked about when you announced some of those drill holes, you talked about the fact that you got the attention of some player. Yeah. So it looks like that's coming to fruition. Yeah,
so that's coming rapidly forward. Then we'll have the metallurgical study out at the end of August from XPS. We'll have the updated 43-101, we think, end of September, early October. And then, of course, we'll start reporting drill results. So it's going to be action-packed, value-creating fall for our shareholders, we think, and we're excited to get at it.
In the past, you've said you were gunning for 8 to 10 million tons in this upgraded 43-101. I know you can't give a number, obviously, because it's not out yet, but are you feeling fairly confident you'll be somewhere in that range or close to it?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah. We think that's the way the numbers shake out. And obviously we'll see when it comes out, but we had posted a 43-101 last August for 4 million tons that we had to pull because of the metallurgical study was outdated. If it was an Ontario company or a Quebec company, we would not have had to pull that. It would have been fine. But because we were BC reporting issue, we had to pull it. So we did. But nonetheless, that got us to a certain level. We know where that was. That was after we added like a million tons with a 2,500 meters of drilling. Well, we've done another, 13 to 14,000 meters of drilling. And, we're talking about maybe going 4 to 6 million more. We think that's certainly very doable. At the end of the day, a lot of it depends upon your design and approach. But we're feeling pretty comfortable that we'll have more than 100,000 tons of contained nickel. And that's the big number, because that's when you're commercial. And we feel we're commercial now. And that's why we feel like we think that's why strategic partners are looking at getting involved with us now. Because the other key thing is, George, this is just one pod. Every nickel sulfide mine in the history of time has always been multiple pods, multiple pearls. And so we've got one big one that's, 8 to 10 or whatever it's going to be. But there's lots of indications that this is... there's going to be multiple of these, we think, and one of the cool things about doing the ambient noise tomography is that quite often nickel is stacked. So we're basically at a surface to 200 meters, 300 meters. That's where it's at right now. Is there another one at 500 meters? Is there another one at 700 meters? Who knows? So this thing could be vertical too. So there's lots of bandwidth here. It's about a 7 kilometer ultramafic sequence. We've explored the top part of 1 kilometer. This is a groovy situation.
And you're not just talking the talk, because it does take a genius to infer if you got a second rig going up in September, you're not doing that. You're obviously doing that because you got a great deal of confidence in what you've got up there. That right? I can read between the lines. Most people should be able to read that between the lines.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, obviously, the last two rounds, the core shareholders have been 65-70% of the investment, with my family and I being the lead at 30% or so. So obviously we're betting with our own money. It's been hard fought. You know how tough it is to raise capital out there. So we really believe that the drill results have been very responsive and very indicative of what can be had here. And I think this could be, it could be a legendary nickel discovery. I mean, it's going to be that it's going to be a mine, and we'll shortly see how that plays out. But it could be something really special, like Voisey Bay special.
And, you've said that before. I was just taking notes. Could be legendary. That's what I was looking down writing. But, to say that it could be Voisey's Bay, Man, that's you don't say that lightly, right? Because that's the big dad.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's a, you know, and of course the proof will be in the drill bed, and we'll see. But I mean, what we like about this thing is that we stepped out 5 kilometers and we hit like a massive, you know, bonanza hole, you know, you know, we did the airborne EM and shows lots of promise in between there. And, you know, this is what you see in big ore bodies. So, I mean, maybe it won't work out. I mean, that's obviously the case. Couldn't happen lots like that. But I think the fact that the first pod is that substantial, you know, I would like, I say, when I say to people that Lynn Lake was 22 million tons, that was another big ultramafic discovery in Canada and Manitoba, and then Voisey's Bay is over 50. I say, certainly we think we're going to be in that range, you know, and if this thing keeps going, then who knows, you know, we're certainly, it's possible. And the great thing from an investor's perspective is you're not paying for that. You're getting it for a lot less than what we've already found in the ground. You can match us up price per I'm talking nickel sulfides of 1% nickel EQ or better. You compare us with anybody across the planet. We're definitely got the most nickel in the ground you know, and the cheapest. So
what's your nickel being priced at in the ground right now versus some of your comps?
You know what? It gets, there's so many variables in that, you know, the prices you use, whatever. But when we compared ourselves, we looked at the ones that we sort of in our deck, when we have it in our PowerPoint, we talk about obviously Noront and what they got paid, widely paid. And then we look at, you know, Talon Metals is probably the most analogous. And, you know, and looking at the fact that, you know, their deposit's worth probably around 400 million or so now. You've got Premier Nickel in Botswana, you know, Magna up north, you know, some of the Aussie companies. We look at those. So they range between 100 and 600 million. And we're at 25, you know what I mean? You know, we're maybe going to be, you know, like if you look at Talon, maybe we're going to be 20, 25% less grade. But still very healthy grade, and soon be a comparable number, you know what I mean? Or, you know, 75, 80%. Yet we're trading at, you know, I don't know, 7% of the value. It's crazy. And I'm not disparaging Talon, which I believe is a great project. And they're down too. I think that whole.
Yeah. You're happy for them because that's where you want to get.
No. Cause, and the nickel complex is undervalued relative, in my mind, to lithium. You think, nickel is a lot harder to find than lithium full on. You know, a commercial nickel is way harder to find than lithium. Lithium is a production problem, not a discovery problem. There's lots of lithium out there.
I've never heard it described that way.
Yeah. It's a production problem. Nickel is a discovery problem. And then it's a production problem. But it's hard to find commercial quantities of it.
And in the meantime, the macro for nickel just keeps getting stronger. So even though you had to pull your last 43-101 on that technicality, it hasn't exactly hurt you, right? Because demand for nickel, the macro nickel, is only getting stronger, correct?
It is. You know, I think you see Toyota talking on the solid state batteries, they have a lot of nickel in it. You know what I mean? So people say, well, you know, maybe they're going to go LIFT, you know, lithium iron, you know, phosphate. And I say, yeah, I'm sure a chunk of the battery market will be that. For very small commute cars and in big urban centers, but it's never going to work in North America, you know, not for the wholesale thing. And there's going to be a spectrum of solutions for batteries, and nickel will be a big part of it, you know. The forecasts are, I don't know, 72 nickel mines before 2035. BHP has come out and said they think they need four times as much nickel by that point in time. You're never going to get those numbers. It's just not possible to find it that quick. If it was that possible, it would have already been found. So, and of course, all things are price sensitive. So nickel can't go to $40. It just will be nobody will have the batteries. You know, so your price range for nickel is probably in the $10 to $15 range for it to be successful long-term, I think. And yet nickel miners can make a lot of money there. And the other thing to do with nickel, you know, when you look at the economics of it, the money in nickel isn't in mining. The money in nickel is in the finished products. So the refining, this is where the Vale's and the Glencore's and the, you know, Wyloo's and Rio Tinto's of the world have killed it, right? They've just made so much money in that process. So for us, as a you know, we're because of the unique supply chain dynamics in North America, there's a window of opportunity now for super small companies like Power Nickel that have great deposits that are, you know, potentially super compelling and attractive to get into that business as a partner. You know, not that we would build it because we wouldn't have the expertise.
No, but
we
could JV with George's nickel refining.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, that would be the possible scenario, and then the economics become triple, you know, because they're getting LME times three, you know, and that's where the real money is. And it's like to go from a basic plant to produce, you know, a concentrate to a product, a plant that could produce powders, anodes, and wire is probably cost you an extra $150 million. And the great thing about Canada these days, and Quebec in specific, is the government's giving you massive incentive. So we can get half of that in tax credits from the Quebec government and the federal government. So it's never been a better time, honestly, to invest in critical mineral mining companies, especially in Quebec, that ones that have got good resources. And from the consumer perspective, the investor perspective, these things are flat out on their chin. You know, since the Silicon Valley banking crisis, I think pretty much everything's down 20, 30, 40%. And the business models got much better. So it's like macro's never gotten better. I mean, people are saying, well, you know, why do you say that? Well, it's because $60 billion has been committed. They're turning shovels and building these battery plants. You know, governments just gave a bunch, I don't know how many billion to Stellantis, how many billion to Volkswagen. I mean, these things are being built, folks. You know,
even the U.S. Department of Defense is giving out money.
Yeah, and of course they need materials. So, in my slide deck now, I actually show the TSXV index, which is, you know, at the bottom around 600 or something like that, 610, whatever. But it's like limping along the bottom. But, you know, when this thing rips, it'll go to 1,200, it'll go to 2,000. That's the index. If you actually pick the right ones with an index, you know, so, you know, like I say to folks, so if you got in a little early, you know, for a piece of your position, is that a bad thing that you're going to wait 6 months to make three or four times your money? And maybe over 2 years, you might make 20 or 30 times your money. Those types of deals will happen. You know, I believe it'll happen for Power Nickel, but that's for people to decide and we'll see what goes on. But those opportunities are out there and people need to find the courage to go against the herd and invest where the value is. The value has never been better than junior mining right now. It's ridiculous.
Yep. And I want to make sure we're not giving out financial advice, but at the end of the day, Terry, you know the landscape better than everybody when there are imbalances. Now I'm going to remind people at home that, yeah, it's so much easier to buy stuff when everybody else is buying stuff, right? But let's remember one thing. Warren Buffett created the greatest, you know, investment returns in history by buying undervalued companies, right? He didn't buy with the mob. He bought before everyone showed up.
Yeah, so you got to have something. Being a successful investor is being a contrarian investor, I think, a little bit, and having patience. Yeah. You know, and whenever I try and trade stuff, I'm sure people can do it if they know the game, they've got the terminals and they're there, but it's not my skill set. I'm really good looking at deals and buying them, and then over the next 2 years they come to value, and that's when I make my really good deals. But if I'm thinking I'm going to buy it and in, you know, 6 weeks I'm going to sell it for double my money, that's a fool's game. I've never been good at that. So
there are guys that can do it, but that's hard. And by the way, if we finish the interview there, we'd say, Terry, awesome, everything, all the ducks are lined up in a row. Can't wait to have you back at the end of August on the next thing. But you've got this spin out that's going to give investors a 25%, I don't want to call it a dividend, but a 25% benefit nonetheless, because a lot of that stock's going to go to Power Nickel on your balance sheet. Some of that's going to go directly to us on our allocation. So the story just keeps getting better and better for investors. They even got this nice bonus coming for you on the spin out, right?
Yeah, we did it that way because I think most people have no clue that we have those assets. And honestly, they're really great assets and could be spectacular. We're really bullish about both our BC project, which is in the heart of the Golden Triangle, literally the mountaintop that overlooks the town of Stewart, never been drilled. Very exciting project. And then we got these massive projects in Chile that, you know, we always like, and everyone loves these projects. But, you know, what's interesting there, it's in the desert in Chile, and desert exploration is tough, expensive. But there's been new technology, this ambient noise technology that we're using up at NIST is going to be a game changer in Chile. And we're going to be sending it down there after that. So we think this is a great way to sort of put that those projects out into a separate entity so they can be valued separately. And it'll be financed separately from our balance sheet, so it won't no longer be a burden on the balance sheet. Yet we give 25% initially to our shareholders. Ultimately, more will come over time, but we do that so that we don't overwhelm the stock. So it's right structured right out of the gate. And then we also, George, may have noted that we kept it private initially.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Why do we do that? We do that because tactically, if you feel there are shorters in your company, like naked shorters, and Power Nickel has long felt that, and it's no secret that we believe that, and we have evidence to that effect, that one of the things that could be helpful, we believe, is to have this period of time where you're private, because they what happens all too often is there somehow, we don't know exactly how they do it, but these shorters are able to somehow paper over their transactions in some way, shape, or form. But they can't do that in a private transaction. So we feel that'll just put more of an impetus on them, closing out their trades and actually delivering their certificates, if that's a problem. We believe it is. We've got documented evidence of that. We'll probably have a press release on that at some point in the future.
Wow.
But that's, that's not the primary reason why we did it. We primarily did it to allow people to see that we had significant assets that were undervalued and to allow them to be financed separately. But that's it's another approach. That's the reason why we did it private.
What's the ETA ballpark, Terry, for all this getting done, spin out,
probably October. Yeah.
That's pretty quick, because I've seen a lot of these take 6-9 months.
Yeah, we've been working on it for a long time. So we got the accountants doing the final piece now. Soon have the offering circular ready. Yeah, we'll look to get it done this fall for sure.
Last question. What interests me a lot too is the 3% royalty on your Copacquire project that's owned by Tech Resources. They have a right of first refusal, but that looks like that can bring in some serious money for you. And the great thing is non-dilutive money.
Talk to us
a little bit about those details.
Yeah, so we love that royalty, and we're giving it up because what we're seeing is, hey, maybe we can get something in the neighborhood of $5 million or so for that, and it's money we don't have to dilute NISC for. And if you see NISC as being worth, in our mind, ultimately $1 billion or more, then if you're right now we're 25, and 5 of 25 is 20%. You know what I mean? So it's like what I'm diluting my big project that I have control over or can influence, as opposed to some royalty where I got no influence. I have to wait for tech to develop it, whatever. And the way we've done it was we recognize that, hey, it's likely that tech, it's possible that tech will end up buying it. They have the first right refusal. They can buy 1% for $3 million US. In my mind, that would be the most logical thing to do. So what we've done is we're basically giving a $300,000 breakup fee to anybody we enter a deal with. So if they are unable to get it for whatever reason, they at least get they've been paid for doing their homework.
And that's so smart, Terry, because otherwise the George of the world might say, well, tech's just going to come take it from me anyway.
Exactly.
I'm going to waste my time. You say, no, George, if tech takes it, you're going to get $300,000. For helping us catalyze the sale.
And so we think that's money well spent for our shareholders to do that. And so, because we're just trying to, as you said, put our best player on the floor, which is NISC, and take that to the finish line. And yet obviously show our shareholders some benefits from some of the other assets we've accumulated over time that could be substantial, but let's get them into a framework that can allow them to grow without, diluting Power Nickel.
And most of us, last question, are not familiar with the market for royalties. So same question there on ETA. I know you can't give us specifics because it's not in your total control, but ballpark, is there a decent market for royalties? I know there are a lot of royalty companies out there.
Yeah, we've got a couple of people interested now. And You know, the people that are interested, like in Chile, we have family offices. So think of it, if you're wealthy Chilean family, and there's many of such, and it's almost like buying timber. you're going to get this compound rate of return, but it might take you 5 years, 7 years, 9 years. Now, that's not for everyone, but if you're a significant family office that's got a lot of assets, and it's like they can't screw that one up, because ultimately it's going to be like it's 100 million tons of ore grade copper moly right now. Didn't find the super gene. That will become a mine, in my view, at some point in time, and will produce, $7, $8, $10 million a year for 30 years, 50 years. So, hey, it's a
maybe
hell of a...
Maybe I should be scraping some cash.
We joked, internally, some of the bigger shareholders, myself and a couple of my other, big family guys with me, we've talked, we said, maybe we should just buy it ourselves, give it to the kids, at some point in time, they'll just be harvesting that. It's not a bad way to go. The royalty companies, some royalty companies have, portfolios where they want some of that, some long-term alpha in there, and some need short-term, So you have to find the right royalty company and of course, these guys are businessmen. They're trying to do the best thing they can for their shareholders, which means get as cheap as possible. But, it's a happy medium. Like, we're not going to give it away. And we've got, there's, as I said, it could work in a family office scenario. It can work into a royalty scenario. It's really up for those guys to decide, but we are open-minded and as we suggest, it's quite likely that tech will take advantage of that,
The great news, it sounds like it's best for everyone's going to make out a winner on it.
That's our approach to business, George, is that everyone should win. It's a lot easier to move forward quickly if you do that. You can't try to scalp the last, penny off every deal. Just never gets anything done. Leave some on the table for the next guy.
Terry, what I love about the news is it means you and I are going to have a lot more to talk about, despite the fact that it's July and a lot of people are thinking about the beaches and the barbecue. And listen, you are a little bit, I can see your red face. It looks like you've been in the sun. You and I have both been in the sun a little bit.
Yeah, but... I was down south and I literally don't go swimming except for the end of the day, but I went to with a buddy swimming for an hour. Just got, just the head exposed. Rest of the body's okay, but got completely fried.
Anyway. Well, listen, keep yourself healthy at least until the 43-101 and the spin out and the royalty sales takes place. All right, then.
Absolutely.
Okay, but George. Until then, we need you, buddy. All right.
All right, pal. Listen, and good talking to you, George. Have a great day.
And always great talking to you, Terry. I think I speak on behalf of all shareholders when I say thanks so much for how you've moved Power Nickel along, how you positioned it. This next 6 months, right until the end of December, is going to be a great ride, buddy, and I can't wait to take it with you.
Good stuff, George. Thank you.
For everybody at home, you've been watching or listened by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform to Terry Lynch. He's a CEO of Power Nickel, trades in Canada, PNPN. For friends in the U.S., PNPNF. For those new to the story, you've seen the spin-out news, you watch this video and you want to know more, get to the company's profile page on Agoracom to get that good overview of the company and what it's doing. And then once you've got that under your belt, get over to the company's website, do your deep dive due diligence. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then, don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform so you will never miss another one great Agoracom Small Cap Podcast.